Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen. You may be seated. God is so good. Boy, with worship like that, you feel like you're touching heaven, you know? And I'm just so excited to be with you this weekend. How this came about is a couple months ago, Joel came to me and said, "Honey, I would really like you to fill in on a weekend. We're doing a series called Golden Text." And so I said, "Well, I can do that." And we started talking about some different scriptures that we personally have seen God just really move in our life. And one of the ones we thought would be good for me to share on is where two or three come together in His name, there He is in their midst. And so I began studying this scripture, and I was just letting it roll around in me. And I was praying about it and just saying, "Lord, I thank You that You give me direction for this message." I went to other people and said, "What does the scripture mean to you? I'm doing all I know to do to get a message for this scripture." And I had no leading whatsoever. So after about a month of wrestling with this, I went back to him and I said, "Honey, I promise I have been asking God for this message and I have been studying. But the only thing God is speaking to me about is being the light of the world. What in the world?" And he said, "Well, actually, the series starting the weekend after Thanksgiving through December is called Light of the World. So maybe you're supposed to preach during that session." So I said, "Aha." So, but how this came about is it just got in me, and it's all I could study. And the first scripture I want to take you to this morning is Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at verse 8. And I feel like I need to go ahead and clarify that all morning I will be sharing out of the Amplified Version. The "these" and "thous" of the King James go over my head, and I like God to break it down for me. And so we are going to read out of Amplified all morning. But starting in verse 8. It says, "For once you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light, or the spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead," and this is the part I really want you to get, "let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them." When I read this, it got so big in me. I could not think or study anything else. That word contrast, I looked it up. And if you are taking notes and you want a message title, this is the message title. Contrast means strikingly different. What God is asking us to do in this is, the world looks a certain way, but as my children, I need you to look strikingly different from the world. As a little girl, I was a pretty good kid. I was the youngest of five, and so I typically was with my mom everywhere she went because I was the tag-along. And I'm sure if you're a fifth child or a last child, then you can understand where I'm coming from. But this particular day, we were going to the grocery store, and we were in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where I was raised. And we used to shop at Food World. And I know going into the grocery store that my mom is a master budgeter. If you think Dave Ramsey knows everything, you're wrong. My mom can teach him a thing or two about grocery budgeting. And so what I know is going in that whatever is on my mom's list, we are getting that and only that. We are not breaking the bank for anything. And so I know this going in. So my mom gets her cart and we wheel it around and she stops at, you know, the container that has all the meat in it. And so sometimes you gotta kind of dig for what you're looking for. And so this day she is, you know, digging for her chicken legs or whatever it is she was digging for. And she said, "Pep, I want you to go get this item." I don't remember what it was, but I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I started going about through the grocery store and I know that it was a God-ordained thing, but out of the corner of my eye, I see the most incredible treat of all, and it is Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies. If you have never had one, you have to go get one after this service, because it'll change your life. And as an adult, now that I can buy my own groceries, I have upgraded to the larger oatmeal cream pies. And they are twice as good because they have twice as much cream. So if you've never tried those, go try them. That's my gift to you. But this particular day, I saw those oatmeal cream pies, and it wasn't my fault, but I found my body taking me over to this shelf of oatmeal cream pies. And I knew my mom is not going to splurge for that 89-cent box of oatmeal cream pies. So what I'm going to have to do is just eat one right now. I know. Shameful. So I find myself over there with the box, you know, like a little bitty mouse would do when, you know, you just kind of open it up. And everyone's shopping at Kroger at this time, so no one is at Food World. And so it's just me and my box of Debbie's. And so I find myself opening the box, then pulling out a little oatmeal cream pie, opening that little plastic wrapper. It's like the sound of heaven when you open it. And I start munching down this oatmeal cream pie. And as I'm doing it, and I'm trying to get it in fast, I see out of the corner of my eye a man who should have been sweeping the floor watching me. He needs to mind his own business. The floors were disgusting. And so I lock eyes with him. He locks eyes with me. And I'm like, "Oh." So I put that box of Debbie's back on the shelf. And, you know, I like go find my mom who's still down deep. By this time, she's like all the way in the meat compartment finding what she needs. And so I just go over there and I just stand there. And I'm, you know, the blood has rushed out of me. I'm flipping out of what just happened. And so I'm nervous and I'm thinking, "Oh Lord, we got to get out of here. I'm a criminal at this point." And so I see my mom, you know, she's still digging and I'm standing there and I see walking straight at us is the man who was not minding his own business, the manager of the grocery store, and my little box of Debbie's walking straight at us. And I was like, "It's done. I'm done. My parents now have four children because I'm out." And I can just, well, long story short, let's just say my dad got home that night and threatened to put me in juvenile hall if I ever did that again. So I have not since stolen a box of Debbie's. But the point I want to make is that's what I look like then. Who I was then is not who I have to be now. Who I was then is not who you have to be. I had a church member text me last night and said, "My husband watched you live stream and said, our pastor's wife is a thief." It's like, oh no, because I am not who I was. How many of you are so thankful that just because you were this person once doesn't mean that's who you have to be? But you know, the morning after I stole those Debbie's, that was still very much a part of who I was. Although I didn't steal another box of Debbie's, that kind of stuck with me. I'm sure my mom kept her eye on me a little better in the grocery store. But the point I want to make is there is a 20-year gap from who I was then to who I am now. Verse 8 says, you were, past tense, you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord, which means I was back then, but now I am a new person. And thank God that He instructs us on what exactly this process looks like. Maybe you're at the place where you're like, yeah, I need to know how to get from A to B. Well, God took care of that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. And we are going to read verse 22 through 24. Starting in verse 22, it says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lust, like Still and Debbie's, and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. I have 3 children, as you all know, and the middle child is wildly obsessed with sports, all things sports. And so he is your typical boy, and he wants to be outside playing sports. And so at school, he has 2 recess times in his day. His last recess period is right before he gets into my car from carpool. And what this means is if you've lived in Mississippi any amount of time, you know that at least 11 months out of the year, it is smoking hot outside. And so what that means is when my little boy is outside playing football and soccer, he then gets in my car and smells horrendous. I mean, he has been sweating and rolling around in the dirt, and he is just filthy. So I'm used to him smelling bad. But this one particular day, it was just absurd. And he got in my car, and you know, I don't want to hurt his feelings, so I'm acting like I'm scratching my nose, but really I'm just trying to block my nostril from being able to smell him. But thank goodness the house is only about 5 minutes from the school, so everyone made it home safe. No one passed out. But on the car ride home, as I'm, you know, scratching my nose, I said, Bubba, when you get home, you've got to go upstairs and get cleaned up because you're stinky. And before we do snack and homework and all these things, I just want you to get cleaned up. He said, yes, ma'am. He understood. He knows he smells. And so we got home, and he ran upstairs and obeyed just like I told him and came downstairs a minute later. And he had on, you know, some pajamas or play clothes. And so he came over to me and was going to get a snack. And I was like, Bub, did you get cleaned up? And he said, I got on fresh clothes. I said, oh, no, that is not good enough. Bubba, you got to take off your nasty clothes from school. You've got to get in the shower. You've got to let that water wash your day away. All that sweat, all BO is not just going to disappear. You got to scrub that off of you. You have got to let that water run all over you and get the stinky, sweaty, smelly stuff off of you. And then you put on fresh clothes. How many of you know that's exactly what this scripture is saying? It is saying, and these are going to be my little men. I'm calling them men because they don't look like women. And so what this symbolizes is verse 22. It's saying, if you have some bad habits, you need to strip those off of you. If you're dealing with some fear, what has fear prevented you from doing? You're going to need to strip that off. Do you have a temper? Does your temper resemble the world, or is it strikingly different from the world? Or maybe you have some unforgiveness. God's word will teach you exactly how to deal with unforgiveness. We've got to get rid of that thing, strip it off. Insecurity. I've dealt with this. When you feel this big and God is calling you to something this big, you feel insecure. But how many of you know that just where you can't accomplish something, that is exactly where God shines? He comes in and all the crooked places he makes straight, all the cracks he fills in. And so maybe you're in verse 22 where you're going to need to strip off some things. But have you ever heard or seen, known a Christian who has gone from verse 22 where they've said, you know, Jesus lives in my heart now, and now I'm a Christian, and they skip right over verse 23 and they come to verse 24. It's kind of like Boston. He took off his stinky, dirty clothes. He took the world off and he put on some fresh clothes. But how many of you know there was a vital step that he missed? See, this guy, he is being washed by the water of the word. Just like Boston had to not just put on new clothes, but he had to clean himself from what had happened in the day. This guy does some things that all of us are gonna have to do. And we will never be done with this person, because as we keep growing, God is gonna require more out of us. So this man, he's constantly growing. But what does that look like? You're like, okay, I need to be washed by the water of the word. I need some time to be cleansed from the world before I am a light to the world. Well, Joyce Meyer says it like this, and I love this. She says, our new birth first happens in our spirit. It is carried out through our soul and is finally visible to other people through a demonstration of God's glory in our physical lives. See, what this means is we ask Jesus into our heart and we have decided to have this new birth. But what we're going to have to do next is renew our mind as to who we're supposed to be. You know, the Bible tells us that our very own personality should reflect him. Well, how are you going to reflect him if you don't know who he is? I found this that is very comforting to us all this morning in Proverbs 4. It says in verse 18, but the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. What this scripture says to me is we are in this process of becoming a light for him. But you know, God is not frustrated because we're not there yet. God is well pleased with our journey getting there. He is well pleased when we're spending time being this man. God is not saying, you need to hurry, get it together, and be a light for me. God is saying, take time. Take time to be renewed. Take time to renew your mind as to who I am and who I have called you to be. And the next four steps I want to share with you are ways that we become this man. One of the things that this man does is he reads his Bible. You know, God didn't give us this Bible to sit on a coffee table and collect dust. God gave us his word so that it can be real and alive. You know, I was a Christian a long time, but I wasn't strikingly different from the world until I dove into his word. And you will find that the word and the world contrast each other constantly. Where the world says, you know, evil for evil. I mean, you did me wrong. I'm going to give it right back at you. God says, turn the other cheek. Or where the world says, is, you know, that's just what you had coming to you. God says, oh no, I have something so much greater. This is my grace. This is my mercy for you. You see, the word will contradict the world every single time. And I just want to encourage you, you have to get in his word to find out who he is. The second step that this man does daily is he feeds on good teaching. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I can read my Bible and I'll read through a scripture and I mean, it's great. It didn't really take me anywhere. It didn't jump off the page to me. But if you turn on some good teaching, like a Keith Moore or a Joyce Meyer or a Creflo Dollar or a Terry Savelle, if you turn on their teaching, that word can become alive to you. And some of my favorites are Keith Moore and Joyce Meyer, like I said, but my absolute favorite is a pastor who pastors this incredible church in Flowood, Mississippi. Yeah. He pastors the greatest church in the world, and he happens to be extremely good looking. And his name is Joel Sims. He's kind of my favorite. Because when you listen to him, you don't have to filter out what he's saying. You can trust that he went to God's word and found what he is sharing. And so you're going to need to find some people that your heart connects with their teaching. A third step that this middleman does is he prays. And you know, I don't know where you are in your prayer life, but God is not interested in these big, elaborate, gorgeous prayers. What God is interested in is a heartfelt prayer of when you just genuinely come to him and say, Father, I need your help. You know, my kids are going through some things right now, and I've never navigated this before. And so, Father, I need you to lead me. As our song was saying, I need you to take my hand and lead me on. Because, Father, I don't know the answer. That is just where God is going to meet you. He knows the conditions of our heart. And when we're pure and honest with him, oh, it means everything to him. So you're going to need to spend some time in prayer. And then the fourth step that this man is constantly doing is he is checking out who he's surrounding himself with. Who is he going towards this process with? You know, I found that our closest friends don't have to be in the same stage of life we're in. One of my very best friends happens to be sitting on the front row, and she's 83 years old, and her name is Mama. And what I know about Mama is when one of my babies is not feeling well, I can call her, and she can help me pray for that baby. And Mama, if you don't know her, you have to get to know her. She is incredible. And she will spend every day praying for those babies until they are 100%. You see, you're going to need to surround yourself with people who have the same goal in mind. And you don't have to look just like them. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It's just, are you going in the same direction? And so watch, who are you hanging out with? Who has your ear? Who do you speak to? Who do you listen to? Because you're going to wind up looking a lot like how they look. But maybe you're in here this morning and you go, I don't get why. Why is it so important to look strikingly different from the world? I mean, I don't get it. And what I want to share with you is it's so important because you might be the only light someone sees. You see, God has placed a light in each and every one of us. And he didn't do that by accident. He didn't do it so you can keep it inside of you. God placed the light in you, not just for yourself, but for someone else. There is the sweetest lady that works at Jackson Healthcare for Women. And I would rather, me personally, would rather birth 20 babies than have my blood drawn. Having my blood drawn is the ultimate fear. And somehow this incredible nurse can make having my blood drawn like a fun experience. I mean, she sees you walk in, she's like, oh, hey, baby, how you doing? And she is such a joy and a light. How many of you know that was not on her job description? You know, she's not getting paid to make everyone feel loved. But how many of you know that there are women who walk in there and that lady, Nurse Katie, is the only light that they will see that day? I think of a scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all of the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all of your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove to yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. What this scripture is saying is you are a living sacrifice. When you had your new birth, God is saying, I need you to be a living sacrifice for me here on earth. See these hands? I need you to use these hands to love on my people. I need you to give your hands as a living sacrifice. Your feet? I need your feet to be a living sacrifice for me. Where you go to places, I need you to go. Your mouth, oh, I need your mouth as a living sacrifice. Let sweetness and love and kindness and every good thing proceed out of your mouth, because your mouth might be the mouth God is trying to use to reach that person. What God is saying is, I need you as a living sacrifice. I need you to not be conformed to the ways of this world. Don't live the way the world lives, but I need you to live your life strikingly different. Contrast the world. Don't conform to the world. Amen. And in closing, I was just having fun in a devotional time, and I was reading through the book of Nehemiah. You know, Joel talks about how the Bible is full of juicy stories, and it's the truth. If you just start reading your Bible, you don't even have to turn on the news or Facebook or read a magazine. The Bible is full of some fun stories to read. And so I was reading in Nehemiah chapter 1 through 7 or 8. I'm not sure how long this particular story goes. But it talked about that God came to Nehemiah and placed a calling inside of his heart. God said, Nehemiah, I want you to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah kept that in his heart. He went to the king and said, King, I need favor on your behalf. I need you to grant me permission to rebuild this wall, because the wall was once constructed, but now it's burnt down. And so Nehemiah knew that he couldn't do it, but he did know that God told him to do it. Therefore, he was well able. And so Nehemiah gets on this journey of rebuilding this wall, and he started getting some people that would come in and help him. But how many of you know that as soon as God sows a seed in our heart, the word says that the enemy is going to immediately come for that seed. He's going to come at you with all he has. And so the enemy saw that God had placed a seed in Nehemiah, and so he sent an enemy against Nehemiah. And so these two men came against Nehemiah, and at first, when things looked impossible, they just mocked him. They made fun of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah just thought, well, whatever. I'm going to keep on with what I know God told me to do. And so Nehemiah began making progress on this wall. And sure enough, the enemy of Nehemiah kind of started realizing, wow, he might get this done. And so they kept sending traps towards Nehemiah, trying to get him to quit finishing the work he had started. But Nehemiah, so faithful and so confident in what God called him to do, he kept at it day and night. He stayed up and he started building that wall. Well, the enemy knew for sure, after several attempts, the enemy knew for sure Nehemiah is about to finish this project. And so they sent a messenger to Nehemiah and said, we need you to convince Nehemiah to come down off that wall, and we are going to take Nehemiah out because we cannot have this wall rebuilt. Well, so the messenger did as he said he would do, and he went to Nehemiah and said, Nehemiah, we need to talk. We all need to, there's some things going on, and we need to discuss what's going on here. And so Nehemiah, full of the word, full of God, confident in his relationship with God, and thank God for that. You know, we have the Holy Spirit who quickens and makes God alive to us in these moments, and he'll help and lead us on. But Nehemiah said, no, no, I am doing a great work right now, and I cannot come down. You see, Nehemiah saw that the enemy was sending people to take him off his mission. The enemy is going to do the same thing for you and I. You know, we are spending time reading God's word. We're spending time surrounding ourselves with the right people. We're spending time praying. We're spending time listening to good teaching, and the enemy is going to see that. And he's going to send out traps to try to get us down from our wall. He's going to try to get us to conform to the world. He doesn't want us to be a contrast to the world. He doesn't want us to look strikingly different. Because when we look strikingly different, we shine God's light to the world. And so when the enemy is coming and he's trying to get you off your wall that you know God called you to, that is exactly when you step in as a Christian and you say, oh, no, you don't, devil. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. When the enemy sends an attack your way, you say, no, no, I know that God has called me to live a life better than what you destined for me, devil. And God will redeem you and restore you. Whatever you need, you are equipped on the inside. You know, the world is going to try to make you feel like you can't do it. They're going to criticize you, but you say, no, I know for sure that God placed something in me. God placed the light inside of me, and he did that so I could shine to this world. I could be a light to that person I work with. You are not in the job you're in by accident. God knew you were going to be there because he knew who was going to work beside you, and it is your calling to be a light. God knew I was going to shop at Kroger on Spillway, so he put people in my path that I'm to shine my light to. And when you think the enemy has won, you say, mm-mm, I know. I am so confident in the God I live for. I place my anchor. I mean, I tie my soul to the anchor of Jesus Christ. And I will go on and I will win. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you that your word was spoken this morning. I thank you, Father, that hearts received the word you have for them. Lord, I thank you that this time next week we look strikingly different because we were faithful to get in your word. We were faithful to pray heartfelt prayers. Father, let us move on and make progress. Let us stay on the wall that you've called us to because, Father, we know there is a great work to be done. Lord, surround these people with all the people you've called into their lives. Father, I thank you every family represented in this place. look strikingly different. They don't conform, but they look strikingly different from the ways of the world. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.